This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to talk about a very, very exciting development in the field of integrative medicine. You know, when I started integrative medicine, now I'm into my 32nd year practicing. Boy, time flies. We integrative doctors were few and far between. Well, since then, they say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. I'm very happy to report that there has been a revolution in integrative medicine. There are so many doctors who are now embracing integrative practices, and the challenge is, amidst the decline of our medical system, because really we're facing a serious medical crisis, is to make this type of medicine scalable and practicable and bring it out to as many people as possible. And I can't think of a person who is more instrumental in that process than today's guest. He's James Maskell. James is a guy who is really a Renaissance man in the field of functional medicine. He comes to us from private industry, actually from the field of banking and finance, but he's got a passion for mainstreaming natural medicine, making it available to the general public. And his website is functionalforum.com. He's provided practitioners with wonderful, wonderful educational forums. But his ambitions go beyond just educating practitioners. He wants to bring this type of medicine to the public, mainstream it, make it generally available. So without further ado, here's James. It's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Great to be back, Ron. You know, I feel like my career thus far, you sort of knew about this before anyone else, but I feel like my career has been sort of dotted by my performances or my time on the Intelligent Medicine podcast. Like, you know, we started Revive Primary Care with the same sort of intention that we have now back in 2013. And I know that, you know, we learned a lot from that. And then the Functional Forum started early 2014. You were a guest, I think, on the second forum as a speaker on a panelist. And, you know, here we are in the end of 2016. And, you know, we're launching into our sort of our next endeavor to take to the next level. And I'm so glad to be back on the podcast.
And so for our listening audience, you know, we have a lot of enlightened lay people who are listeners, sort of aficionados of natural medicine, but I'm lucky to count among my subscribers and listeners practitioners. Many practitioners find it useful because we talk to distinguished guests in the field of natural medicine. And there's a message here for practitioners because this is important stuff. James is offering some very, very useful tools for helping your practice and for enabling you to have a greater outreach and greater success in meeting the demands of your patients. So tell us a little bit about, the evolution of medicine.
Yeah, well, so look, if we go right back into it, I mean, the biggest sort of elephant in the room for integrative medicine is that there's not enough doctors doing it, and the doctors that are doing it, it's not within the financial reach of most people.
Mm-hmm.
And
It's sort of like a boutique-y yeah. kind of medicine. It's medicine for, outside the insurance realm. But to some extent, it's luxus medicine, luxury medicine.
Totally. And that's a function of demand and supply, but it's also a function of the fact that, you know, I've sort of termed the first year of medicine what I've called functional medicine 1.0, of which you were a big part, Ron, which is, you know, doctors, the only doctors who did it because of sort of like a moral obligation that they realized that this was the right way to practice medicine. And, you know, they didn't really know exactly what they were getting into. They had to default become entrepreneurs because there was no jobs. There was no one hiring for that job. So they had to start their own practice. And you sort of muddled your way through it. You worked out how to do the supplements. You worked out how to do the patient education. Some got it faster than others. But there was this whole era, which I feel has just come to an end, like right now, which was just seeing how to make it work, because there was no support systemically. There was no, you know, best practices to look at. You know, all of the education in the conferences was all about, hey, like, how do we actually get people well, not using drugs and pharmaceuticals? How do we use natural methods? And I think that was a natural first step in the evolution of medicine in that direction. It's like we had to just work out what to do. But now I feel like we're moving into this new phase, which I'm calling functional medicine 2.0. Now, just to back up, I know you don't necessarily call what you do functional medicine, but in my book, which is available this week for free to anyone who wants to download it on Amazon, I basically make the case that I like to use the word functional for a few reasons. One is that this language thing is a kind of a problem, and everyone using different words, I think, confuses everyone, doctors, consumers, and otherwise. But the thing that I think functional medicine has going for it, Ron, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, it's just, you know, when I looked out into the industry, I asked a question that I think no one else was asking, which is, if we suddenly realized either as a population or as a health system that we needed 100,000 doctors, you know, practicing this type of medicine that some might call integrative, some might call functional, some might call naturopathic, where 90% of it is really the same and that there's just variations on the edges. You know, how would we do it? You know, how is there, you know, how many doctors can Ron Hoffman, have shadow him at any one time? How many can David Katz or Mimi Guarneri have shadow them? And what I realize is what we need in order to scale this up is a reproducible operating system. And I feel like functional medicine, for all, you know, other things that it has at its core the functional medicine operating system, the matrix and the timeline, which if you're a new doctor, I think you really need to be schooled in doing something, at least knowing what that plan is. Now, over time, you could individualize it, it becomes more of an art. But as long as it becomes an art, as long as it's an art and not a science, it's very difficult to scale up. So when I say functional medicine, if you prefer the word integrative or otherwise, you can substitute that in. But I think that the reason why we called our thing the Functional Forum, our show, is because we saw that, one, the word functional had a lot of momentum with like the Cleveland Clinic and so forth, but two, that it was really just there was that operating system at the center of it where you could actually train thousands of doctors at the same time. Does that make sense?
Indeed it does. And you know, I think, you know, the whole issue I think revolves around, is functional medicine just sort of a historical quirk? You know, is it something where, okay, the failures of conventional medicine have left the door open to practitioners who can maybe address some of the concerns of patients, but eventually high-tech medicine will prevail, will come up with impressive cures, and this style of medicine will become obsolete? Or is this the medicine of the future? And I think that you are resoundingly opining that it's the latter.
Yeah, well, it's not just me, Ron. It's smarter people than me and more important people than me that think it is. So I was at a conference this summer put on by, it was the first time that the Academy of Integrated Health and Medicine, which used to be the American Holistic Medical Association and blah, 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 and the IFM came together to put on a conference. And in that conference, it was in Germany, and they had representatives from the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, PAHO, which is the Pan American Health Organization, and then all these other groups. The health minister of Brazil was there. And really, I think, Ron, there's this understanding now that they see that integrated medicine is the future of non-communicable disease. You have to get patient engagement if you've got a lifestyle-based disease. And in every country around the world, even in Africa, my dad lives in South Africa, you think, oh, what are these diseases are going to be the most prevalent in Africa? And it's not type 2 diabetes. It's not cholera and TB and typhoid. Right. It's type 2 diabetes and cancer.
Even in the so-called developing countries, even in the countries where previously, you know, starvation and epidemic disease were the major killers, they're now becoming westernized. So you'll see a very high prevalence of diabetes and heart disease in countries like Nigeria, you know, Kenya, for example.
Totally. No, absolutely. And so, you know, these groups are, they all came to this conference because they're starting to realize that you have to get patient engagement, you have to use food, you have to use lifestyle. Like, you know, there's nothing that you can do to people at the end that's going to, you know, resolve those kind of diseases. And so, you know, it was really amazing to see that. And so, yeah, I do believe that this is the future of non-communicable disease. And I think that integrative medicine has a powerful role to play in that. And so, yeah, that's what we believe. And so what we're, you know, what we're looking to do now is like, okay, if we all believe that, how do we actually scale this up so that there are enough doctors to practice, there's enough care for everyone who needs it, and it's going to be affordable to the masses? And that's the moment that we, you know, that we come into functional medicine 2.0. Because in functional medicine 2.0, you've got doctors that are coming in for, you know, for those reasons that want to do it, or doctors that see that this is like, you know, the other big issue that I talk about in my book is you have this chronic disease issue, but you also have this, you know, doctor issue where doctors are leaving medicine. They're unhappy with their jobs. They hate industrialized medicine. They're not getting what they thought they would out of medicine, and they want to leave. And I think that from my experience, integrative medicine is a very elegant solution for both of those problems, because all the doctors that I know that practice it, apart from the sort of trials and tribulations of being an entrepreneur, they actually love their jobs. They love sitting with patients. They love getting to the root cause of disease. Their patients love it, and they get a lot of like internal satisfaction from the role. And so what I posit in my book is that integrative medicine, you know, there's a hero's journey available to any doctor to practice a type of medicine that's relevant for today's diseases. And that, you know, in order to overcome that hero's journey, they will need to learn how to build a successful practice doing it. And the operating system of a practice doing integrative medicine is very different from a regular practice, because you have to spend time with people. It is about relationships. You have to change behavior. You have to educate like a teacher. And in functional medicine 1.0, you just kind of tried to work it out, and you didn't really have, you know, the systems or the best practices to learn. But now we have technology. We have really useful technology. We have automation. You know, we have ability to do things like this, like a podcast that you and I can record once and potentially a billion people could listen to at no extra cost. This kind of technology has come along. And so what we're looking to do now with our Practice Accelerator, which is the new program that we built out for doctors, is how do we minimize the barriers to entry to integrated medicine for every health professional? Because I know that out of the doctors that are doing integrated medicine now, that's doctors who like integrated medicine, who want to practice it, but have also been able to build a practice. There's a lot of doctors out there, and I know them because I've met them at dozens of conferences, that love it and know that this is the way they want to do, but they still have a day job doing emergency medicine or an anesthesiologist or whatever other job they have, and they're looking for a way to actually deliver this care every day. And what I hope that we could be in this next phase of our business is sort of an accelerator to bring doctors across and show them the new model that's available to them. And that model I call the functional micropractice.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you correctly state that, you know, the joy in medicine is in the one-to-one interaction with patients and the inspiration that you derive from innovative therapies and applying them, and the satisfaction in seeing them literally turn lives around. But the stress comes from managing a practice and trying to meet the financial demands of a practice, where sometimes insurance is not available. You have to spend inordinate amounts of time with patients. You can't process them through like cattle, you know, with a, you know, 8 or 12 minute visit. These are the specific challenges that make it difficult sometimes for natural medicine practitioners.
Totally, yeah. So the tagline of the book, it's called The Evolution of Medicine, and the tagline is join the movement to solve chronic disease and fall back in love with medicine. It's a book that I created for doctors. It's really written, I would say, for the Western doctor who, you know, has maybe thought about these ideas but can't really wrap their head around what it is and why it's valuable. And then also gives them a roadmap. Like, the book is free, and in the second half of the book, we really talk about what is happening in functional medicine 2.0 to make this a possibility for doctors that it hasn't been before. And so, you know, just some of the things that I think there. So with this technology we're on, you know, now we're seeing where essentially you don't need a big space anymore. You can run a functional medicine practice off a laptop, basically. I mean, you see what we're starting to see is functional medicine practices popping up in what I would call a non-traditional medical environment, like Dr. Berzin's practice in Parsley Health is off a laptop in a co-working space. You've got doctors that are building a functional medicine practice in a little room in a physical therapy location, or in a CrossFit, or in a gym, or in a church even. You know, that, you know, you see Mark Hyman's thing with the Saddleback Church, where they're actually delivering medicine in sort of like a community environment. And so the cost of, you know, there's a lot less stuff. You don't need as much stuff as you think you need to deliver this type of medicine. And so one of the things, you know, the biggest thing about running your own practice, and you know this better than anyone having a practice in New York for 30 years, is overhead, right?
Oh, yeah.
How much does it cost per square foot?
Sure.
And once you're paying that overhead, you realize you've got to put a certain number of doctors through, and you better learn to run a practice pretty quickly, because by the sixth month, if you're not building your new patients and you haven't got your marketing on point yet and it's taking longer, you're still fighting that overhead. And how much runway do you have? How much personal cash do you have to actually, like, support the practice as you're learning these skills? And that seems to be a huge barrier. And so what this functional micro practice is like, how do we reduce the barriers so that there's very, very little overhead, so that now any doctor who wants to do this can at least work out a way to sort of titrate themselves into the position and don't have to shell out all of the big overhead, so that they can build a practice slowly. And by the time they end up with a nice, you know, office like yours in Manhattan, they have a number of other practitioners that are part of the team. They have, you know, health coaches and other people that can take the heavy lifting of, like, the educational behavior change off the plate of the doctor, because it doesn't need to be on their plate. There are a lot of coaches who are great in helping people deliver behavior change. And that was just a part of functional medicine 1.0, that the doctor did everything, because you were just trying to work out how to do it. And it was just important that people got well, and that was it. Now we can start to look and say, okay, if Frank Lipman's got two doctors and seven health coaches, and people get, like, a, you know, really strong experience from spending time with the health coaches, because they're the ones who are actually helping them to implement the new diet, the new shopping list, the new meditation practice, the new sleeping hygiene policy or whatever, you know, that Frank doesn't have to do that. You know, other the health coaches can do it at a much lower rate. That makes sense for everyone.
Indeed, you can be the rainmaker or the orchestrator of a healing practice. You mentioned earlier the Cleveland Clinic. I think a lot of our listeners would be surprised to hear that functional medicine has penetrated into the belly of the beast. The Cleveland Clinic, you know, one of the most conservative bastions of conventional medicine, now has a functional medicine clinic. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, look, it's quite literally the belly of the beast, because, you know, I know in some medical systems that have sort of implemented integrated medicine, you end up with an acupuncture center sort of 10 miles down the road.
That's like window dressing. Center, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, window dressing. Whereas the Cleveland Clinic Center for Functional Medicine, so, you know, in the fourth ever functional forum that we did in May 2014, Mark Hyman came and announced to the world essentially this was going to happen. They started out with like 1.5 doctors. So Patrick Hanaway was there half the time. Mark was there like 1 week a month, and they were doing their thing, and they had a couple of, I think they had one health coach and whatever. And anyway, the results were off the charts. The demand was off the charts, and so now they're opening very soon, in fact, a new improved 18,000 square foot center, and it's right in the middle of the main building. Like, it couldn't be more in the middle of the building. And so it's really exciting, because, you know, people are starting to see the results. They start to see, you know, having this operating system. One interesting fact that I think your audience will like: the average patient seeing a functional medicine doctor has 30 symptoms and 6 diagnoses.
Yes.
So you're really dealing with a very interesting subsection of the population of the planet.
Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it is. World. Yeah.
And, you know, you're saying that essentially, you know, there's this illusion that functional medicine or integrated medicine is expensive because it's paid directly. But, like, you think, you know, what are your fees compared to like a year on Humira? You know, to the payer. It's just that it just happens that you're not seeing 95% of that cost because the insurance company is paying for it, but you're basically paying for it anyway because your insurance premiums are going up. So, you know, so the Cleveland Clinic has taken this on, and that's another big reason why in the book I've said, look, I think it's a good bet to bet on the words functional medicine, just because other serious people are making the same bet. And I think the Cleveland Clinic is conservative, but I think what they actually, you know, you might look at, say, Boston Mass General as being the most conservative, right? Or mm-hmm. Yale, or I don't know. I think if there's one thing that, that Cleveland Clinic wants to be is innovative. And mm-hmm. so, you know, what they saw is that the real innovation was actually coming from, you know, from before. So I have so much, admiration and respect for, you know, Mark Hyman and Patrick Hathaway and all the people that have been on the coalface there making sure that the first 100 patients got amazing results. And, I'm really excited to see that as a sort of a catalyst for the whole movement, because now when I have conversations with random people or help people who know what they're talking about, I mention on one hand the Cleveland Clinic, on the other hand my friend Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, who's a doctor in the UK who's got a TV show which is kind of like Dr. Oz meets Super Nanny, and in the first season he reversed type 2 diabetes not mm-hmm. once but twice.
It's a reality show, right?
Yeah, it's a reality show, but he's in 30 days, he's reversing these chronic diseases. So I say between the Cleveland Clinic and actually watching it happen on TV, what else do you need?
Indeed. Okay, this is a good point at which to pause, because as our listeners know, we divide our podcast into two parts. Our guest is James Maskell. He is an innovator in the field of functional medicine. And from the standpoint of not so much therapy, he's not an MD or practitioner, but he's there to facilitate the practice of natural medicine. And there are some wonderful resources available to practitioners and to patients, which is going to make it easier and easier in the future to visit an integrative practitioner. And that's good news, because for some, they're barriers, they're too far and they're too few and far between, or cost is prohibitive. And the good news is that through James's efforts and efforts of those like him, integrative medicine is going to spread and become much more accessible. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Please stay with us for part two. This is Intelligent Medicine.